topic tonight, I will finish on Sunday, so it's two parts. And it comes from Ecclesiastes 10. And I have previously done a couple of studies on comparisons and contrasts in the Bible, and how the of the Bible that the Lord used through the Holy Spirit, that they actually used huge contrasts to be able to make the point. And so you have good and evil, but you have light and dark. And light and dark is a lot easier to understand than good and evil, because what is good and what does evil look like? So we're going to look at wisdom versus folly. F-O-L-L-Y. Not a word that we hear a lot today. We have the old English, obviously, but the word folly I will explain further through this study, and we'll compare it to wisdom. So we'll do folly tonight, and we'll do wisdom on Sunday. So in Ecclesiastes 10, let's start off in verse 1. It said, dead flies cause the ointment of the apocryphy to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. What a great analogy. The ointment that dead flies stick to are a smelly, smelly thing. And that is what folly is. It is a smelly, smelly, smelly reputation. Verse 2, a wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. I'm going to spend some time on that on Sunday. Notice right hand and left. There's some really interesting things that we can glean from that, and yet try to stay out of the political arena if we can. Verse 3, yea, also when he that is a fool walk by the way, his wisdom fails him. And he saith to everyone that he is a fool. In other words, his walk, the way that he conducts himself, demonstrates to everybody around him that he's a complete fool. So it's like walking on the edge of a 10-story building, showing off. Well, that's pure folly, and everybody knows you're a fool for doing it. Verse 4, if the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifies great offenses. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, as an error which proceeds from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity. In other words, people think that the jokester is to be held in high esteem. But folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in low place. I have seen servants upon horses and princes walking as servants upon the earth. He that digs a pit shall fall in it, and whoso breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. Whoso removes stones shall be hurt therewith, and he that cleaves wood shall be endangered thereby. If the iron is blunt, and he does not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. So think about what he just said there. And if you've ever read Stephen Covey's book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, he says that you have to sharpen the saw. And it's the same point here. If you have an axe that's dull, you have to use 10 times as much effort. Well, the fool, instead of sharpening the axe, will just keep hacking away until at some point in time he ends up hurting himself. Verse 11, the serpent will bite without enchantment, and a babbler is no better. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. The beginning of the words, his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. A fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be, and what shall be after him. Who can tell him? The labor of the foolish wearies every one of them, because he knows not how to go to the city. Woe to thee, O land, when the king is a child, and thy princes eat in the morning. In other words, how foolish it is to have a child as the king. Blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season, for strength and not for drunkenness. Again, foolishness. Rulers should not be drunk. By much slothfulness the building decays, and through idleness of the hands, the house drops through. Again, foolish. If you don't make repairs on a regular basis, you're going to pay the price. Verse 19, a feast is made for laughter and wine makes merry, but money answers all things. Curse not the king, know not in thy thought, the curse, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber, for a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. So in other words, it's foolishness to do these things. It's foolishness to say something about those in authority, because you never know when that information is going to be carried to them in some way, shape, or form. For instance, if you've ever made the same mistake that I've made with an email, where instead of reply, you hit reply all, and you say something about somebody that's on it, and you didn't mean for them to be reading it, maybe it wasn't bad, but it was sure foolish to have put yourself in that predicament. I once said, why does this person question you all the time? And the person that got the email was copied. It sure made me look bad, like I was calling them out when I was really asking, you know, I thought you guys were friends. How come they're always questioning you? So be careful. A bird may carry your voice. And that's true with small children, too. It's really important for parents to think highly of each other, esteem the other better than themselves, and not say anything negative about one of the kids to the other kids or one of the parents to one of the kids. So let's take a look at folly. Let's look at fool and foolishness. The Hebrew word is S-I-K-L-U-T-H, and it means silliness or foolishness, folly. But there's a second word that's used even more frequently, and that is the word K-E-S-I-Y-L, and it not only means silly and foolish, but it also means stupid. And I don't know if you've ever thought to yourself, how stupid of me to have done that. Well, how foolish of me to have done that might be a good translation as well. And so they're the same. There's a third word, and it has to do for silly or a fool, and it has to do with a specific person. So we're going to look at about 10 places here in Proverbs and Psalms that talks about foolishness and or a fool. And we're going to start with Psalms 53:1. Psalms 53:1 says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good." I mean, think about that. How foolish it is for a person to say, there is no God. No one's going to see me. There's no God. There's no one that's going to hold me accountable. It's corrupt, but it's stupid of them to say so. All they have to do is look around at creation, and they can see how amazing this world is, and there has to be intelligence behind it. It didn't just happen on a fluke. And so corrupt are they. But a fool said in his heart, there is no God. It's interesting to me. I've got friends that have said, you know, when did you become, you know, a big church guy, or when did you become so religious? You know, it's just foolishness. They see it as foolishness, and yet I see them as the real fool. And last man standing will be the one that is right. So I don't hope that they are not standing. I'm hoping that they will come to their senses at some point. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 5, verse 23. Proverbs 5:23, and it says, "He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray." So here we are really talking about the individual that says there is no God, that doesn't believe in Christ. He will die without any kind of instruction, without any kind of knowledge, and the greatness of his foolishness, of his stupidity, is that he's gone completely astray. Proverbs 13, verse 16. So, you know, first off we have the stupid fool, and then we've got one that goes astray. So we'll keep tally on these in terms of the descriptions of the fool. Proverbs 13:16, "Every prudent man deals with knowledge. There's the converse, but the fool lays open his folly. What does that really mean? He exposes himself. He lays open an individual that is naked to the truth of who he is and how he is acting is open to everyone. Everyone can see how silly or how foolish or how stupid this individual really is. We're moving kind of quick. Let's keep going. Proverbs 14, verse 8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. They fool themselves even. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. So we have a couple of things here. Obviously, a fool is not prudent. We already saw that previously. Secondly, there is deceit in it. Third, they're so foolish that they mock the sin or sins of others or sins of themselves. And they say that, you know, that they are the righteous ones by doing what they're doing, which is sin. They find excuses. They find blame on other people. They just mock sin. Proverbs 14:29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalts folly. This spirit is that the anger. And so he that is slow to wrath is hasty to bring about anger. They get upset quickly over absolutely nothing. Our grandson was in a fight yesterday at school. An individual that was making a layup, a little freshman making a layup in basketball during PE. As he went up, he fell, and he had to blame someone for his clumsiness. And so he turned and he blamed our grandson, who at the time was actually sitting on the bench. He wasn't even in the game, but he accused him of pushing him down. And so he pushed him. And grandson said, "Don't push me." He pushed him again. Grandson pushed his hands away, and the kid just clocked him, just hit him right in the face, and then hit him two more times, causing a black eye, and he wears braces, so he's got cut lips, he's got a nose that's all swollen up. And this is homecoming weekend, so he's going to go to the dance with a face that looks like he's been through a fight. This individual was foolish because he was quick to anger, and he blamed someone else for his own foolishness, his own fault. And so anger is foolish, and being quick to anger is even more foolish, which is why road rage is, a crime, and we have to really be careful of that. I'm not real good with traffic, and I admit that. That is a failure on my part. Probably not appropriate, probably just as foolish to shake my fist at people. I fortunately have a wife who calms me down very quickly. We're going to look at Proverbs 15 next, and we're going to read through four verses, verses 20 through 24, Proverbs 15:20. A wise son makes a glad father. Boy, isn't that true? But a foolish man despises his mother. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walks upright. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors they are established. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. It's a wise person that understands that Christ has died for him, and therefore he has life. But the fool thinks it's foolish. We realize because one of the commandments says honor thy father and mother. And so it is foolish to despise your mother. It is foolish to despise your parents in general. It says without counsel, purposes are disappointed. You know, after Solomon, his son, and I think it may have been Rehoboam, He went to his father's counselors and said, you know, the people are pushing back and they say that I need to lighten their load. What do you say? And, the wise counselors say, yes, you definitely should lighten their load. You know, we've enjoyed great peace here under your father. And it's time for the people to rest and not have the burden and not be taxed as much, etc. And so foolishly, really actually just exactly like Pharaoh did, he went then to his younger counselors, not as wise, and said, what do you think? And they said, well, you should increase their load. And as a result, there was a split, and the 10 northern kingdoms all followed another and created their own kingdom, their own king, and fell away from worship in the temple completely. And so without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But when we know that we have wisdom through his word and through those who are involved in the word, then there not only is great prosperity, but we have peace, and we know that we're in a good place. You can tell when you've gotten poor counsel from someone, because you just don't feel easy. The Holy Spirit just is not going to be at rest with you there. Proverbs 16:20, and I'm going to read through verse 25. He that handles a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusts in the Lord, happy is he. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increases learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. There is a way that seems right unto a man, to a fool, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So, you know, you have here instruction of fools is folly. You know, they don't have the ability to control their words. The wise teaches their mouth to say the right things. My wife recently told me that some things just don't need to be said. They're unnecessary. That they should be true, and they should be encouraging, and or kind. But just understand that most are not necessary. I wish I would have learned that, like, before I was married, instead of learning it 40 years later almost. But definitely those are wise, wise words. My wife just told me that that's from Elizabeth Elliot. Well, I don't know. But I'm sure she's a famous author. Proverbs 18:13. He that answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly, and shame upon him. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? The heart of the prudent gets knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. So the fool doesn't seek knowledge, one. Two, they're impatient. They're an impatient listener. And before someone even says something or completes a sentence, they've interceded with their limited understanding, and they're basically firing from the hip before they've actually got all the facts, and they're making decisions without having all of the facts, and that's dangerous. That's very dangerous in some cases. So go to Proverbs 26. 26:1-14, as snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse costless shall not come. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and the rod for the fool's back. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. He that sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off the feet. Isn't that interesting? What a great way to picture this. You know, you hand a lame person, a person with no feet, no legs, a message that he's supposed to deliver someplace. What is he going to do, crawl? I mean, it's just foolishness. But it says, and drinks damage. The legs of the lame are not equal, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. As he that binds a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. As a thorn goes up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. The great God that formed all things both rewards the fool and rewards transgressors. As a dog returns to his vomit, this is such a great picture. It's gross, but it's a great picture. As a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool returns to his folly. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit, in other words, prideful, there is more hope of a fool than for him. What do we know God hates? He hates a haughty look. He hates pride. That's what happened with Satan, and that's what happened with many of the kings. That's what happened to Herod. You know, they said, oh, wow, how you're so wise and so wonderful and so beautiful. You must be a god. And the writing on the wall said, yeah, you've been weighed in the balance and found wanting. And he died that evening. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 2, verse 13. It says, then I saw that wisdom excels folly as far as light excels darkness. There's that contrast again. The wise man's eyes are in his head. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. You know, that's such a great way to see the contrast, light and dark. You know, you put a man in a dark room and he gropes for everything. He just can't see anything. And sometimes things are plain as day. You've got light, but you can't see anything because your eyes are closed or because they're blinded, and they're blind to the truth. They're blind to the word. We see again that here is a picture of a fool, light versus darkness, wisdom versus folly. So there's an example in Samuel, and I think it's a great lesson that we can learn. Samuel, verse 25, verse 2, 1 Samuel 25, 2, says, and there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep, 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now, the name of the man was Nabal. Now, the context of this is David is running from Absalom, and he is out in the pasture, and he sees these sheep, and he ends up protecting them. And protecting the shepherds, asks nothing from them, but he doesn't have food for his men. So the man that owned these sheep, his name was Nabal, and the name of his wife was Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding, of beautiful countenance, but the man was churlish and evil in his doings. He was of the house of Caleb, and David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. So David's there protecting them, and Nabal finds out that David sends his messengers to him and says, look, I've protected your flock all night, all week. I've not laid a hand on them, but I need to feed my men. You know, can you throw us a bone here, if you will? Let us eat to satisfy my men. And he says, absolutely not. You know, who are you? You know, you're not from my lineage. I'm not from the line of David and from Jesse. I'm from Caleb. And so he offers you. Well, his wife Abigail finds this out, and here's what she says. 25:25. Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for his name is, so is he, Nabal, is his name, and folly is with them. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord, whom thou didst sendest. But what does she do next? She loads up several donkeys with food and beverage, wine, water, figs, all, you know, and immediately goes to David and gets off her donkey, gets down on her knees, and says, I brought this gift for you, but let me tell you about my husband. I mean, his name actually means folly. His name actually means fool. And he definitely was. And so it's a good story to think about how we treat others and how foolish it is to ever set ourselves above anybody else. I mean, he was talking to, I'm sorry, I said that when he was chasing Absalom, I think it was Saul that was chasing him, so he was not even king yet, so that's why Nabal treated him the way he did. But this was the anointed. Okay, we're going to look at two more incidences here, and they're relatively long with throughout the time that we have remaining today, and we'll finish a little bit early, which will be good. But I'm going to turn to the New Testament here, and there's only a couple places where the word folly is used, and so you can already see between, you know, Old Testament and New Testament, the words are changing. The word fool is not to be uttered any longer. Because calling a person a fool is, you know, very, very, very rude, because you're saying that not only are they silly, but they're just stupid. So today you don't tell a person he's stupid, you're going to end up in a fight. All right, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, and I'm going to read through verse 6. It said, would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly. The word folly in the Greek there is the word senselessness, which is also translated foolish or folly. And indeed, bear with me. So he's saying, I'm going to be a little silly here. I'm going to be, you might think that I'm a little foolish by saying this, but I want you to bear with me. I want you to think about what I'm saying and not judge me immediately. Verse 2, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted by the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, think about that. We've got this senselessness or this folly tied now to the beguiling and the corrupting. Verse 4, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if he receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Meaning, don't do that. I'm warning you. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly made manifest to you among you in all things. In other words, Paul's admonishing them, look, don't believe other people. It's foolishness. We've given you everything because of our knowledge. He had firsthand knowledge of Christ, the resurrected Christ on the road to Damascus, which is why he was accounted as an apostle, because he had actually seen him resurrected. And so he's saying, look, I have knowledge. I'm not foolish. A fool is void of knowledge, right? But not Paul. Paul was actually very, very knowledgeable. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees, a Hebrew of Hebrews, studying at the feet of Gamaliel. And so we have Paul to thank for his knowledge, and the Corinthians were being led astray, if you will, by Judaizers, number one, but by others coming in saying, look, you can follow this Christ or that Christ, and other men will come in the name of Christ. And he's saying, don't follow that. Don't be taken foolishly astray by these individuals. Okay, the last passage we're going to read is a long one. It's 1 Timothy 3:1. I believe it's 1 Timothy. Maybe I got this wrong. Maybe it's 2nd. Might be 2nd Timothy. But we'll post it here and you'll be able to read it as Tony so graciously posts for me And so truly appreciate that. All right, so Timothy 3:1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Remember we read that a fool doesn't treat his parents properly. They're unthankful. They're unholy. They're without natural affection. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded. There's that pride again. Lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Why? Because they're foolish people. Number one. Two, they're trying to deceive you, so don't be a fool with them in their folly. Verse 6. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women or foolish women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So there's no truth with these traitors, with these disobedient truce breakers, false accusers, etc. And they're leading women who would be considered foolish to follow them by relating to their simple lust, lust of the eye, etc. Just as Eve was, she wanted that fruit, and so she was corrupted because of it. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also is. Sooner or later, a fool is going to be found out. Sooner or later, someone that's deceiving others will be found out. So keep that in mind. But, thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, etc. Paul is saying, you know me, you know where this truth came from. He's telling the Corinthians, look, you've seen what I've done, you've heard me, you know how knowledgeable I am in this. How could you turn to anybody else? And he mentions his persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So in other words, don't be foolish and get deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Okay, so if you don't want to be deceived, what do you have to do? Well, you're a fool if you don't turn to the Scriptures, because the Scriptures are the only truth we have, which are able to make thee wise. Woo. Holy Scriptures are a way to become wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And here's the close. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, that they may be perfect, that they may be wise and not a fool. The opposite of all these things is what the fool does. And so in closing here, what does the fool do? What do we know about the fool? Well, they're corrupt, they're stupid, they're no good, they go astray, they're not prudent, they're deceitful, they're quickly coming to anger, hasty, they don't revere their mother and father, follow the commandments. They are destitute of wisdom. They're without counsel. They're without instruction. We've already mentioned that they're not prudent. They don't control their words. They're impatient as a listener. And therefore, before they hear a matter, they jump in. They don't seek knowledge. They don't study the Scriptures. They're not honorable. And they continue to repeat their mistakes. They're prideful. And wisdom versus folly is like light versus darkness. That's the analogy that we can relate to. And so with that, I'm going to close, and hopefully you'll join us on Sunday. I'm taking Barney's spot, and I hope those of you who seek wisdom will tune in on Sunday, and we'll see what the Holy Spirit has for us then. Let me close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to you that you do provide us the Holy Spirit, that we have wisdom available to us through your scriptures. And it is only through your scriptures. It's not listening to men. It's not listening to me or anybody else. It's only listening to your word. Hearing comes by the word, and the word through God. Lord, we are thankful for that. We are thankful that we will not be accounted as foolish because we know your word, and we have others that will teach us and guide us just as your Holy Spirit does. We praise you, Lord, for your good tidings, for those who are firm. We hope that you will provide them quick health and comfort them, Lord. We praise you in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.